Welcome to WGIL's Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Jay Redfern.
Exciting changes continue to happen at one of Galesburg's most popular and iconic restaurants and bars. Since acquiring Cherry Street Brewing Company just more than a year ago, ownership led by Kit Wilcox and his son C.C. Wilcox have rolled out a number of improvements to the historic South Cherry Street building, including a complete exterior facade makeover, along with lots of upgrades to the interior. But recently, Cherry Street debuted an on-site brewing component to the business, and this week, Cherry Street officially launched the Safari Lounge. Joining me today to talk about all these changes are Kit and C.C. Wilcox, along with Sam Fisk, who heads up the beer brewing component of Cherry Street Brewing Company. Guys, thank you for joining me on Galesburg Live.
Thanks for having us.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Great to have you in here. So before we get started on some of the new additions, let's talk about why you're in the business, and we'll start with you, Kit. You owned and operated Cherry Street, you know, back in the heyday, back in the 90s, right. 80s and 90s. What made you want to get back into the business?
I guess a couple things. CeCe and my nephew, Ryan Frakes, and a few friends of theirs, Ryan Greenwood, Derek DeManis, and Kyle Holloway. They had all talked off and on about an interest in buying Cherry Street. It had been for sale. It had closed. It had opened back for sale a couple times. And the building needed a lot of work. The owners had sold it and unfortunately got it back. And so it had not had, I guess the love and attention it had needed for several years. So it was getting in disrepair, and these guys had fond memories of it. Of course, a couple of them, Ryan and CeCe in particular, grew up when we owned it from 89 to 94, grew up and spent a lot of time there, and CeCe worked there. Ryan's brother, CeCe's other cousin, had worked there too. And anyway, so we'd all, our family had spent a lot of time there, a lot of fond memories, hated to see it get to the point it was getting to. And then they discussed that with me. I had also had an interest in particular because of a trip that my wife and I had taken to Tanzania, Africa in 2019. I had an interest in developing a safari bar. So I talked with these guys, and we said, maybe we pull together and try and make this thing turn around. And they gave me the promise that as a part of that, I'd get the opportunity to develop the north party room into the Safari Lounge.
Okay. How about you, CeCe? What interested you and some of your friends to get into this business?
Well, I kind of was raised in Cherry Street back in the 89 to 94, like you said. Loved it back then. It was an extension of our family when we had it the first time. And like my dad said, fond memories. And as I grew up, I'm a little bit of an entrepreneur. And so myself and my friends or business partners have talked many times about, oh, how great to buy this bar or this restaurant, and talked a lot and had never really done anything. So when the opportunity came up that Cherry Street was available, the wheels started turning, and there was other things, factors at the same time that kind of made sense and the stars aligned. And
so if Cherry Street wasn't available, were you still looking to, you were still looking to open someplace else, right?
Yep. And actually, within 6 months prior, we were talking about another type of business, another type of restaurant, not a bar, that we had gone down the road a little bit with, we backed away from that for various reasons.
Okay. But Kit, how about, you were, like I said, you were back in it in the 80s and 90s, and now you're back. What's different about the business now?
Well, I think that back in the 80s and 90s, you had happy hours, and you had they came and went, but you had and of course with all the factories, Maytag, and there was a much more, a much younger population, I think, in Galesburg, and much more work population that was out. So I think we had, you know, much more of a beverage audience.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when we first purchased it, Cherry Street was 80% of the revenues were beverage.
Oh, wow.
And 20% food. Now, my background had been in the food business because I'd been with Chili's down in Dallas, Texas. And so I wanted to change that, make it more, you know, 50-50 or at least more restaurant. Even at that point, we still did a ton of beverage business. I've seen a change in that. You don't see the 5 o'clock happy hour, half the guys and girls and ladies in town coming down to have cocktails and stuff. That business has changed, to a large degree. And then I guess the labor market. I would say those are the two most significant changes I've seen. You know, much tougher for restaurants to restaurants in particular, more so than bars, for them to find people. Mm-hmm. And to be profitable. You know, wages have gone up, and as I say, it's tougher to find people. So, yeah, those are two biggest things I've seen.
Okay. CC, what do you think makes Cherry Street so popular? There's a lot of loyal customers, followers, you know, people that went to Knox, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, still Cherry Street's the thing. So what do you think makes it so popular?
Well, its location helps. It's right downtown. It's been there for a very long time. The building has a certain characteristic and feel to it. It's kind of like a Cheers, you know, the, mm-hmm. the brick. It's very warm and cozy, inviting. The history is incredible, and I think there's just been so many people, generations of people that have gone there, either as a kid, an adult, a married person, you know. And so people spend a lot of time there. There's in the memories, people just love, you know, they go there. We just had someone in earlier this week for lunch who I've known forever, and her waitress was wearing the original Cherry Street logo.
Oh, wow.
T-shirt, which we had back in the 90s, and she just like went crazy over it. And she's like, oh my gosh, she's like, that's so, you know, throwback. And it's she's like, it makes her just feel really special just to see it. And she's like, can I buy this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So you know, it's just one of those things that I don't know, it's just like I think it's an icon in Galesburg for the restaurant and bar scene. And we're thankful for that, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We're talking today to the people from Cherry Street Brewing Company, Kit Wilcox, CC Wilcox, and Sam Fisk. Before we talk about the brewery and the Safari Lounge, fill us in on some of the updates that you've made in the last year since, you know, what was it, last May, I think you guys took over.
Yeah. Well, we've touched pretty much every inch of it except the bathrooms, unfortunately. I wish we would have done those first, but they're functional, so that's okay. Why we didn't. You know, we started with stuff that was completely broken and not working or not usable. So, unfortunately, the bathrooms are going to be last. But so we started. We did two of the three roofs were needing to be redone, resealed, and everything. So we've done that. Started kind of in the beer garden. It was in use, but not really used. I mean, it was not in great shape. So we had some structural stuff in there and painting and a little refresh in there. And then we moved down to what we now call the Cherry Pit, which used to be Sturge was in there, and we had all the pool tables and everything, which
game room.
It used to be the game room or whatever. So we now call that the Cherry Pit. It's basically just like a more for private parties. And
so that'd be
games.
Kind of like the second level before you get up to the beer garden.
Yep, so second level. We now have a pool table in there again, and a dartboard, a shuffleboard, and some other little games. So that's something that we'll develop, I think, a little more as we go along and have time. And then down on the, well, all pretty much all windows have been replaced. except some on the back of the building, and the doors, all three front main doors were replaced. Tuck pointing was done on the facade. We were finishing the
whole new look on the outside. Looks nice.
The front was probably one of the worst buildings in downtown Galesburg, I would say. Pieces were literally falling off daily. And so, yeah, we have redone. The facade should be finished this week. On the inside, then, you go into the far old party room and took out the stage, added the microbrewery back there. And that was a big project. And then worked our way towards the front, completely redoing everything except everything in that room is new pretty much except like the brick walls, I would say, from the ceiling down, added insulation. The place had many, many big holes in it, to go to the outside. So power bills were extremely high and those have come down substantially. And then, just a lot of cleaning, mm-hmm. lots of cleaning, painting. We've added some stuff to the kitchen to make it work a little more efficiently. We've had to replace some items. Lots of things just break all the time because it's, old. So that's a constant challenge. And, we've 2.5 times our staff since we took over. It's a lot.
A lot.
It's a lot.
Okay. Let's talk about food a little bit. You can't mention Cherry Street without talking about mud. Kind of go into the history of mud and what is it and how did it kind of come about? Probably told this story a million times.
Yeah. Well, mud is just something that we came up with when we first bought Cherry Street in 1989. I met with Jim Carter and I said, I've got this product that I think would be good for us. And he said, well, what's it like? And I said, well, it's a dip, chip dip. And I said, I don't know. It's sort of like mud, like cheese mud, And, he said, okay, that told him a lot. But anyway, he tried it and, he agreed. He liked it. And so we put it on and we said, well, what are we going to call it? And well, what the heck? Let's just call it mud, So we did, and it fast became our most popular selling item on the menu, and was for the time we owned it, continued to be. Then at some point, one of the, I think the fourth owner, decided not to serve it anymore. At that point, we had, when we developed it, back in 89, went ahead and trademarked the name. And so when owners decide to continue using it, once it had not been used for the appropriate period of time, my family said, hey, we continued making it at home anyway. And we said, and we had a lot of people always asking about it. So CC volunteered to come up with to trademark and patent the recipes and the name and everything, and we actually started mass producing it. He found a you did all the work.
yeah, I spent a few years, probably 4 or 5 years planning on figuring out how to do it as a side project, and then probably worked pretty hard at it for a couple years and got burnt out. But packaged it. Yep, got it packaged, frozen product, and put it in some Hy-Vees and some other stores. And it went pretty good. Just wanted to kind of get it going and then find somebody to take it on for me, a wholesaler. Just didn't have enough sales to get anyone to bite on it. And I was just done. I got my first patch of gray hair because of that. So,
So how much is the menu change since you guys took over? And what are some of the what do you think are some of the most popular items that you have on your menu?
Hasn't changed. I mean, it's much different than when we owned it. Back in the day, because they had developed their own items, and when we took it over, we didn't want to make a lot of changes. Both for our staff as well as for our clients. We wanted them to not have to say, oh, here comes somebody buying this and now everything's going to be different. And so we really haven't changed many items at all. We are getting ready this month to come out with a new menu, and we'll have a few changes. Our tried and true, our most popular items will still be on there. We'll just be adding, we'll take a few things off that didn't sell much and adding a few things that we think might be some new, good new items. But most popular, gosh, sandwich-wise, two most popular are going to be the Reuben and the tenderloin. Other items, we get great reviews on our salads,
burger.
We
sell.
Let's go across all three of you guys. What if you had to say, I'm going to order something today, what are you going to order off the menu?
Well, unfortunately for me, it's an item we're taking off. but I think our best, I've always told customers, I think our best sandwiches are a prime rib sandwich, but for whatever reason, we don't sell a lot of them, so we are going to take it off. But, hurry up and get over and try one because they're going soon.
Okay. How about you, CC?
Our chicken's amazing, but I mean, our Reuben is, I eat that pretty regularly.
I've heard a lot of good.
Yeah.
It's kind of historical, too. I mean, you guys have had that. It's been a bestseller for a long time.
Right. That was brought in by the previous owners. I mean, we had a Reuben back when we owned it, but the one that's on there right now, that recipe, came from the downtown lounge, Betty O'Connor. So.
Okay. How about you, Sam?
Oh, I always, shrimp po' boy is one of my favorites. I don't know, Reuben, of course, too. But, yeah, I get the shrimp po' boy a lot. And my wife, she's a big fan of that, too.
Okay.
Probably the big thing is so many of our items, and this was true back when we owned it, so many of our items are made in-house and made from scratch, not you know, not just the frozen product, you know, coming out of the package. We bred all of our items ourselves, and that's one reason our chicken is so popular. I think we buy a great product, but for the times that we bred it, and the same thing with our tenderloin, when we bred it, that's all hand breaded by us in house, and it just makes a better, you know, quality product.
Okay. We're talking today to C.C. Wilcox, Kit Wilcox, and Sam Fisk from Cherry Street Brewing Company. So Thursday, we're doing this interview ahead of time, but Thursday is the grand opening of the Safari Lounge. Kind of tell us where that's located in your building and what's behind the concept of the Safari Lounge.
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, my wife and I went on this trip to Africa. Fell in love with everything over there, the countryside, the people, the animals. It was just, it was my bucket list, you know. Mm-hmm. For my 65th birthday, Pam said, you know, what would you want to do? And my entire life, my mother was very much an animal lover, and she and I shared that as I grew up. And gosh, my wife and I, first thing we do when we hit a city is go to the zoo. And so anyway, my entire life I dreamed of going to Africa on safari and visiting. We sat with gorillas, mountain gorillas, and all sorts of things. Anyway, so we fell in love with it and wanted to, build something that would show people, introduce people maybe a little bit more to some of the things of the country and what it has to offer.
So that's kind of located in like what you'd call the side room then, to the north?
The north room, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about beer. We're getting to Sam's part of the thing.
Do it.
But I was going to ask CC and Kit, how important was it, you know, Cherry Street Brewing Company, it sounds like, well, you're going to brew beer. How important was it to bring that component to Cherry Street?
Probably one of the most popular questions that we always got asked back in the day. You know, hey, brewing company, you know, what kind of beer do you brew? And so much in the early days because, craft beer and brew pubs, I don't know, Sam, you know better when they really started. But
late 80s is when they started, yeah. But yeah, there definitely was not that many around. So it just is, it's kind of a new popular thing that's been happening. I mean, I've been brewing beer in my garage for the last 20 years, and if somebody would have told me there'd be three breweries in Galesburg, I would have thought they were crazy, but here we are.
Right.
Yep.
Before we get a little bit deeper into that, so how did you settle on Sam to be your brewer?
Well, just pure luck. I mean, there wasn't a question to our decision. It was a matter of getting lucky enough that Sam was available and interested. My wife and I had talked with Knox County Brewing Company, Matthew Hansen and his family, and actually had talked with them about going into a partnership. As I mentioned, I had an interest in doing some kind of a safari bar, and I thought they had a great product out there, and I'd always felt like their business was hurt by their location, that it was just too far out of town, mm-hmm. which living in Dallas, Texas, you know, being right. 3 miles from downtown that sounds crazy, but as we all know in Galesburg, we get a little spoiled. Anyway, so we talked with them and had some serious conversations with them about doing a joint venture in Galesburg downtown with them, their beer, and a safari bar. They ultimately made a decision to move back to Texas. And they said, but hey, you know, we'll sell you our equipment and everything and some recipes. And I said, well, that's great, but I don't know diddly about brewing beer. And I said, I would need somebody that knew that. And they said, well, you know, we believe that Sam Fisk is going to be finishing up with the company that he's been working with in Iowa. And, you know, to be honest with you, Sam knows more about brewing than we do. And I said, gosh, that sounds fantastic. And I've known Sam, fortunately, for quite some time. Always liked him as a person. And, gosh, that would be incredible. And they said, well, we'll talk to Sam and get back to you. And that's the rest is history.
Okay. Sam, tell us about your background in brewing. How did you kind of get started in it?
Like I said, I've been home brewing in my garage for the last 20 years. I moved away from Galesburg for about 10 years, and then moved back. And I was living in California and San Francisco, and I moved back, you know, just wanted to get out of the city. But I felt like I needed a serious hobby. So I had a friend at the time that was home brewing beer, and so we just really kind of got into it. You know, at the time we had a homebrew supply shop. So I just really kind of dove into it, just did a lot of, reading and brewing. And yeah, just, you know, just loved it as a hobby. And for a short time, I brewed beer in Keokuk, Iowa, with another local Galesburg person. And, you know, that kind of COVID hit us hard. So we shut down shortly after COVID, mm-hmm. and then was approached by Kit and Cece and just, you know, thrilled not to have to drive 90 miles right. to brew beer. So yeah, that's kind of how I got started, was in the garage and then kind of moved into the professional realm of it.
Okay. But, so what kind of beers will you offer then? How long, you know, what's kind of been the timeline? I know it's maybe taken a little bit longer to get the brewery part going, but like, are you up?
Our first beer we'll always remember was on Super Bowl Sunday, February 12th, I guess. So yeah, we did kind of a marathon brew week, brewed 4 days in a row, which almost broke me down a little bit, but it's I survived. But yeah, we've kind of gotten to a little rhythm now. You know, I'm still kind of, it's still hard to figure out what people want, but you know, I always try to do kind of a light beer. You know, one of my favorite styles is a German lager, a light German lager, which is similar to American lagers. Always like a dark beer. These IPAs are really popular. That's probably been our number one seller. But I always try to do something seasonal, some seasonal type of beer. And then, you know, maybe some different beers like Belgian beers that, you know, there's not a lot of commercial examples of out there. But yeah, we are going to have some barrel aged beers coming up here pretty soon. Those you have to let age for a while, but we'll be releasing those very soon. And Yeah, of course, we have a cherry beer, so that's...
you have to have a cherry beer at
Cherry Street, definitely.
Right? So are the beers available throughout your restaurant or just in the lounge?
They're available in the restaurant. We've actually got three beers on tap up in the beer garden. The Safari Lounge is kind of maybe going to double as a tap room of sorts. We'll have, all of our beers available over there. The main bar has our beer on tap as well.
Okay. You kind of talked about this, but are you always kind of looking for the next flavor? I mean, and you talked about seasonal beers too.
Somewhat. I mean, I'm somewhat of a traditionalist when it comes to beer. Like, I don't like a lot of the fruit flavored beers. I don't know. I'm hoping there's a place for them. I mean, I think real kind of beer connoisseurs and a lot of beer drinkers kind of like the more traditional side of it. I'm open to anything. But there's definitely what's going to be the new trend. And you know, these hazy IPAs are really popular. And, you know, when I started homebrewing, if somebody would have showed me a hazy IPA, I would have been like, there's something seriously wrong with this beer. But now everybody loves them.
So for someone that's not familiar with, you know, the craft beers or what you're doing there, or somebody who just drinks domestic, what's something good to start out with? If they say, I'm not used to that kind of beer, what would be something good to start out with?
Yeah, well, we have a beer that my business partners wanted to name Fisky beer. So it's a beer. It's called a Helles Lager, which Helles means bright in German, but it's a light German lager. You know, it's a little under 5%, and you know, it's probably the most similar beer to like a Miller Lite. So that'd be a great one to start with. I mean, I've been kind of surprised at people that have tried our darker beers that really like them. But I think if really my kind of philosophy is if you make a good beer, you know, everybody's going to like it. And that's what, you know, I think some people will, they're just like, oh, I don't like dark beers. Well, just give it a little try, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I didn't even know it could taste like that. So, I mean, that's what I love about beers. You know, if you make a good beer, you know, everybody will like it.
Okay. You kind of mentioned before that, you know, we do have a couple other breweries here.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you never thought you'd see that.
Yeah.
You know, do you think there's room for three? I mean, how does that, do they all kind of feed off each other, do you think?
I think so. I mean, really kind of in the craft beer world, competition is good. And the more breweries, kind of the better, you know, it's kind of a draw. You know, people, you know, will come to the, I mean, people drive everywhere for beer, which is amazing. So, you know, people will drive from Quad Cities and Peoria and hit all three of the breweries here and, you know, make a day of it. So I think, you know, three is good, but I mean, I don't know if four could make it, but you never know.
Okay. So how about, we'll do like we did with food. How about beer that Sam's brewing here? Do all three of you have a favorite?
Well, doesn't drink as beer. As these guys know, I don't drink beer.
Okay.
And so that's why it was always sort of crazy that I always wanted to have us brewing beer, but now I'm just not a beer connoisseur.
We'll pass on Kit then.
I would just say, you know, when I talk to people and they say, hey, what do you got? You know, what's good? You know, I admit to them that I don't drink it, but, my recommendations, are the Fisky. And then the other one, I always tell them, I say, you know, if you like a stout beer, at all, then I said, for people that like stout, I've never had anybody that didn't just go crazy over the oatmeal stout that, Sam makes. Thunder Jolt is what we call it.
But, okay.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay. How about you, CeCe?
I drink these regularly, and I like them all. Gosh, a favorite. That's really tough. The Hazy was, and I've never been. I've said this so many times, but I was not an IPA fan. And then I had his Hazy. I was like, this is really good, and drank it a lot for a while. And then I switch around. Our red ale. I don't call them by their real names, unfortunately.
That's all right.
What's the red ale?
The Random Gazer.
Random Gazer is phenomenal. It's an easy drinker. The Ruby Rito is the one that has the cherry flavor. Is really, really good. I took some of these to Bloomington to a party a couple weeks ago, and people that are like, we don't drink craft beer, and they're like Busch Light, Bud Light, Miller Light, whatever. And they like were blown away. They're like, we've never liked craft beer. I mean, we were just having a conversation at the bar last night with a guy who's like, this is not the kind of craft beer I normally have. This is so much better than, I mean, I really think Sam's process and his taste for what to, ingredients to put in is unique. So I think it's pretty cool.
Obviously, they have to taste good. But yeah. How important is the name?
I don't know. It's the last brewery I worked at, I didn't get to name my beers. So, you know, I've had these just...
So is that kind of challenge then?
not really. I mean, I somewhat try to stick to a theme. You know, the Random Gazers, a line from a Carl Sandburg poem. And we had a beer called the Mighty Gale, which was a automobile that was built in Galesburg in the early 1900s. But yeah, I kind of like it. You know, it's just fun and playful. You kind of associate it, and I don't know, maybe kind of a Midwestern theme is what I'm going for.
Okay, well, that wraps up our conversation today with the folks from Cherry Street Brewing Company, Kit, CC, and Sam. Thank you for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Yeah.
And that's my conversation with Kit Wilcox, CC Wilcox, and Sam Fisk of Cherry Street Brewing Company. I'd also like to thank my guests from the first hour as we talked about life in the CIA with Galesburg native Mike Tatey. You can catch replays of both of my conversations on WGIL.com. Thank you for joining me today and have a great weekend.